We'll chant text 33, and we'll also read 34 and 35 because they're short reports and they're all connected to the same topic. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ditishtu Vridita Tena. Karma Vadyena Bharata. Upasangamya Vipramsim.
Viprashim.
Adho Mukhya Vyasata. Ditis tu Vridita Tena. Karma Vyadina Bharata. Viprasangam Yaviprashim. Adho Mukhya Vyabhashata. Dhritihi. Diti, the wife of Kashyapa.
To
but Vridita. Ashamed. Tena. By that. Karma. Act. Avadhyena. Faulty. Bharata. O son of the Bharata family. Upasangamya.
Going nearer to.
Vipra Rashim. The Brahmana sage. Adha Mukhi. With her face lowered. Habhyabhashata. Politely said. Translation. O son of the Bharat family, Diti, after this, went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. Purport. When one is ashamed of an abominable action, one naturally becomes down-faced. Adhomukhi. Diti came to her senses after the abominable sexual intercourse with her husband. Such sexual intercourse is condemned as prostitution. In other words, sex life with one's wife is equal to prostitution if the regulations are not properly followed. Text 34. The beautiful Diti said, "My dear Brahmana, kindly see that my embryo is not killed by Lord Shiva, the Lord of all living entities, because of this great offense I have committed against him." Purport. Diti was conscious of her offense and was anxious to be excused by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has two popular names, Rudra and Ashutosh. He is very prone to anger, as well as quickly pacified. Diti knew that because of his being quickly angered, he might spoil the pregnancy she had so unlawfully achieved. But because he was also Ashutosh, she implored her Brahmana husband to help her in pacifying Lord Shiva, for her husband was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. In other words, Lord Shiva might have been angry with Diti because she obliged her husband to transgress the law, but he would not refuse her husband's prayer. Therefore, The application for excuse was submitted through her husband. Very clever. She prayed to Lord Shiva as follows. Namo Rudraya Mahate. Let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, who is simultaneously the very ferocious great demigod and the fulfiller of all material desires. He is all auspicious and forgiving, but his anger can immediately move him to chastise. Purport. Diti prayed for the mercy of Lord Shiva very cleverly. She prayed, quote, "The Lord can cause me to cry, but if he likes, he can also stop my crying, because he is Ashutosh. He is so great that if he likes, he can immediately destroy my pregnancy, but by his mercy, he can also fulfill my desire that my pregnancy not be spoiled. Because he is all auspicious, it is not difficult for him to excuse me from being punished, although he is now ready to punish me because I have moved his great anger. He appears like a man, but he is the Lord of all men." Nyashtadandaya. He's Shivaya Nashtat Yandaya. He's the all auspicious, forgiving personality. Well, this is a nice example of misuse of intelligence. She is very intelligent. She knows how to her husband, she's addressing appropriately as Vipra Rishim, amongst the learned brahmanas, he is superlative. He is a rishi amongst learned brahmanas. It's true. So in that sense, it's not flattering. But it is flattering. Because her purpose is to get something. And her purpose that she wishes to get is that he not only forgives Diti for what she's done, but that he calls off Lord Shiva. Because she's due to be punished. But because her husband is so elevated and so dear to Lord Shiva, all her husband has to do is just hold up his hand and say, "Please forgive her," and it's done. Because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, who will easily forgive as he is easily angered. Which is the message of the second verse. And the third is then she makes her own prayer where she's recognizing, she's addressing his Rudra side, Namo Rudraya Mahate. Deva Yograya Nidhushe. You're ferocious. Your spirit of anger is unstoppable. At the same time, you're the fulfiller of material desires. So I'm appealing to that side of you. Fulfilling of material desires. And boy, do I have a material desire. And since you are all auspicious and so forgiving, maybe that anger feature of yours can be put aside for the moment and you can show your auspicious side. You are certainly capable, and it's as you wish that will happen. One thought in all of this is a qualified woman has to be properly guided. Just before coming here, I was in Chicago, and in Chicago, the verses that were being covered were Sati's very clever approach to Lord Shiva to encourage Lord Shiva to do what she knew that he knew was unwise. She was clever. She said all the right things. And even she gave the reasons why it was unwise. She pleaded her case very cleverly. Not like in the commentary, Prabhupada explained that what she was saying in very sophisticated language was all the reasons that you didn't get the invitation, I didn't get the invitation, it was deliberate, it's already an offense, but I want to go. And here's why I want to go. Big festival. And so many, just look at the sky, so many Vimanas decorated so beautifully, and all the other demigods with their wives with such beautiful garments and ornaments and decorations, and they're going to have such a big festival time. And even my sisters, they're going. And my mother's sisters, they're going. And people that aren't even related, they're going. Can we go? The way that she said it was not exactly can we go, but if you so desire, because I won't go without you, if you so desire, then you can be present with all of your auspiciousness to sanctify that wonderful ceremony. And you're so merciful, who can deny the desire of such a faithful wife? Please, let's go. I mean, she knows it's going to be terrible. But her lower nature, or say that the social wanting to take part in the social function, is so strong. It just eclipsed her intelligence to understand what she knew her husband would say if it was just a blank slate. So it wasn't, she didn't approach with a blank slate. She approached with, I want. And literally against his advice, he gave, you know, one of those, against my better judgment, go ahead. Kind of an answer, and off she went. And sure enough, disaster. So, part of culture is being exhibited by both ditti and, in that example, sati, where their speech, I mean, the words that are being used, as she spoke very pleasingly. Yeah. Abhyabhashataha. Adho Mukhi, looking down, she spoke very pleasingly. And it worked. Just as how she spoke previously also worked. Now, it's two things. It's not that her husband just got like henpecked and mowed over. He understood before and after the consequences. There's a certain point, and Lord Shiva, he didn't get bamboozled by what Sati was asking. But both of them consented, even knowing it had consequence. Now, sometimes Prabhupada would go into territories like that where he would say, Lord Shiva made a mistake, or Markandeya Rishi made a mistake. Excuse me, Kashyapa made a mistake. But in another sense, how to deal with someone who is in your care, whether it's a child or a wife or a citizen and you're the king, or you're a teacher and this is a student. Any situation where there's someone that's in your care and they wish to do something, and not just like mildly, they're over the top, like they're going to do it anyway. And it's going to make problems if they do it anyway. But it'll be a bigger problem if you say no and they do it anyway. It's very delicate situation. I remember Hari Soi describing a situation with, in his serving Srila Prabhupada, where publicly, I don't know where it was, maybe it was Hawaii, California or something, publicly Prabhupada was speaking in a class about the seeds of previous activity, specifically performing mundane music and thinking that that can be used in Krishna's service somehow, doing that. There was like a particular situation he was addressing, and Prabhupada spoke very strongly. The very next day there was a wedding, and after the wedding, the next morning, the newly married husband and wife came to see Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada's permission or blessings to go make mundane music. I want to get a band, and Prabhupada consented. And after the person left, Hari Soi said, Prabhupada, just 2 days ago you were like, and he said, it would be worse if I said no, and he did it anyways. Very delicate. I mean, so at what point could you just say no? And at what point do you say, against my better judgment? Very delicate. It certainly has something to do with the faith of the individual. It has something to do with the degree of attachment of the individual to something that's not wise and will have consequences that are not anticipated. So, if you're in a position of guiding somebody, you certainly have to know unintended consequences may very well come from this thing. But like Krishna did with Arjuna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, it was okay. Now I've spoken everything. Now you do what you feel you must do. The position of freedom of choice wasn't taken away from Arjuna. And Arjuna chose Krishe Vachanam Tva. As you've spoken, I'm prepared to act. So when one has refinements as ditti, one of the daughters of Daksha, given in charity to Kasyapa as his wives, very qualified. By her speech, she shows her sophistication. By her mannerisms, she shows her culture. But something that's very elevated, when misapplied, can be very dangerous. So devotees always have to be very careful. I mean, our situation is we have to be very careful. Have to be very careful when we're properly following. And we have to be very careful when we're properly guiding. Because all hell can break loose. And in this case, the two sons of Diti, all hell broke loose. Very terrible. Demons were born. But because of her cleverness, that wasn't to be checked. Even it was, you know, fated to be very awful. Now it can go the other way also. Just while I'm considering this, supposing somebody, there's some mistake, just like in our lives. We make mistakes. Before we're devotees, certainly we made mistakes, and now we're bearing the consequences of those mistakes. So now what? You know, we can't condemn ourselves for those mistakes. We move forward in Krishna consciousness, given the circumstances that we accept because of some mistakes. That doesn't mean, oh, no problem then, just make as many mistakes as you like, and we'll just cover it up with Krishna consciousness, and chant a little extra. Sin Boldly. There's one book like that. Prabhupada spoke about it. There's one Christian theologian or author, he's claimed himself to be Christian, that tendency for sin is so strong that we can't check it. Like the saying, desire is strong but the flesh is weak, or the will is strong but the flesh is weak, something like that. You know, it's inevitable that one will do sinful activity. So don't beat yourself up over it. Christ died for your sins. Sin boldly. He's a nice doormat. Just wipe your muddy feet and sin boldly. So not like that. That's most heinous of offenses. But one shouldn't get stuck in something that's been done incorrectly or some wrong that has been done and just beat yourself up and beat yourself up and beat yourself up. That's not recommended. Repentance is good, and move on with the restoration of the proper standard of devotional service. Accepting, just like Lord Brahma, after his stealing of the calves and the cowherd boys, he realized, I made a big mistake. He accepted that he had made a big mistake and was not looking for just like grab hold of some straws to kind of counteract that mistake. He accepted the mistake. Maharaj Pariksit accepted that he had made a mistake and is prepared to move in the direction of pure devotional service in our lives also, from those things that are mistakes. They're inevitable. But just listening, just yesterday, listening to Srila Prabhupada describe the Chota Haridas story. Prabhupada's point was, on the one hand, Chota Haridas, he banned him. He described the whole Leela. He went to get some vegetable, and the way that Prabhupada said it was, he glanced lustfully upon the woman who was giving the special quality rice. And Prabhupada's comment was, in some ways that is natural. Just like in passing said it. But the consequence was very severe. Lord Chaitanya, being all-knowing, when Chota Haridas, when the meal was brought, he said, this is very special rice, where did it come from? This is where it came from. Chota Haridas, I tell him I don't want to see him ever again. Wow, what happened? And someone who is in the renounced order of life and improperly deals with women, I don't want to see them. And then when Chota Haridas, after a long time passed, and Lord Chaitanya did not budge an inch, a fraction, from his position, Chota Haridas gave up his life. And when that message was given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his response, Prabhupada said it three times, oh, very good. Then, in contrast, Shivananda Sen came one time with a group of devotees from Puri. And his wife, the wife of Shivananda Sen, was pregnant at the time. And she paid obeisances before Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya turned to Shivananda Sen and said, it appears that your wife is pregnant. He said, yes. He said, very good. You can give your son, he will be a boy, and you'll give him the following name. Call him Puri, as after Paramananda Puri. So Prabhupada's point was, in one case, just glancing improperly as a sannyasi, and the other, the householder and producing children. So being a householder producing children is not the wrong thing, but pretense, a Vaishnav will not stand for pretension or cheating. What's the word used? Hypocrisy. So mistakes are mistakes, and intentional mistakes are not intentional mistakes. They're very faulty. Now, the final, Lord Shiva's position is spoken about substantially here. Because Kashyapa was a devotee of Lord Shiva, very interesting combination. A great devotee of Lord Shiva, he worshipped the impersonal Brahman, and with Aditi, he had Vamana as his son. Very interesting combination. So we discussed this yesterday. Don't ask me how that works, because it's perplexing. I didn't do the research, by the way. I didn't do it yesterday to find out if our acharyas make any comment on that. But in any case, Lord Shiva, being the worshipable deity of Kashyapa, Diti is concerned that Lord Shiva may be very angry because of this very improper act of hers inducing her husband to succumb to that bad act also at an improper time and improper circumstance. She was due to some reaction. So rather than accepting the reaction for her faulty deed, she's looking to like maneuver things through the agency of her good husband. Please maneuver things. And so Lord Shiva is both Rudra and Ashutosh. So people like the Ashutosh side. They don't like the Rudra side. Then you better, if one likes the Ashutosh side, that not just have a good husband, but, you know, follow properly. And even better is become an unalloyed devotee of Krishna. And then the material desires will be eliminated from the heart, not just like manipulated. Okay, to be continued. Any comments or questions? Yes?
You mentioned the story of Chota Haridas, and I was just curious because Krishna also says that even if one performs most abominable action, but if he's again engaged, you know, undeviating in devotional service, then he's a sadhu. So I was just curious with Lord Chaitanya and Krishna's
Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, yes. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is totally independent. He can do as he likes. And he had an intention. What was his intention? His intention was to teach anyone. After this Chota Haridas example, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, nobody, even in their dreams, would even think of improper behavior in the renounced order of life. They would even dream of it. And later on in that lila, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that Lord Chaitanya would go to a secluded place where Chota Haridas would continue to sing for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a subtle form. So, as Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya considered Chota Haridas as saintly. For purposes of instructing the followers, present and future followers,
I just have one follow up question. How do you differentiate between accidental fall down and how would that be seen in that scenario?
Accidental means circumstantial, not contemplated. Does that help? Yes.
Maharaj, where do you draw the line between interfering with someone's independence and discipline, your subordinate or someone that you feel you're responsible? In your mind, how do you?
It can also be someone that you care very much about. You may not be a subordinate, but someone you care very much about. One very important lesson that I've learned comes from a book that Jagadish Prabhu wrote long ago, where it was on Gurukula. And one section, towards the beginning, was a section on discipline. It made a very strong impression, and I've experienced it over and over and over again. So what Prabhupada explained there is, before there's discipline, there must be the acceptance of the other party, in this case it was children, love. No discipline. So the teachers were, it was an interview. The teachers were saying, Prabhupada, how do we use discipline? He said, don't discipline. Just show them love. And they said, but Prabhupada, da 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 da. No discipline, just show them love. But Prabhupada, sometimes it gets so unruly, the kids are so out of line. There's no question of teaching in the classroom. Something has to be done. No discipline. Show them love. And gradually they moved from, okay, show them love. Once they were on that side, then Prabhupada said, then you can discipline. And when you discipline, he qualified it. He said, you can show a stick but never use it. And not necessarily literally, but figuratively, at least. The act of discipline certainly there have to be consequences, but when there's love is established, the consequence of having that loving relationship, bring tension to it. You don't go there because of that loving relationship. That in itself is discipline. It's protection.
Let's take a step from that. Suppose I read that quote, right? And I have this uncontrollable urge to buy a car because my car was dilapidated. And I knew a friend of mine had a certain amount of money stashed someplace. And I stole that money. And then I get caught and I go before the judge in the court. And the judge wants to sentence me to so many years in the clinker. And I tell the judge, I read a book that says that you should show love. Perform activities. I mean, how do we distinguish between that natural chastisement to come as a result of doing something? I know, I know the Bhagavatam says in relationship to women and children is different, but how do we live the life?
Discipline is required when there's love. When there's love, then the discipline is, it's an act of love. There are certain limits. No hitting. No physical violence. In a relationship. But constraint. You go to a criminal act, it's another thing. A criminal act is another thing. The person who is, it may be very well be an act of love for someone who's done a criminal act, and you know it. You say, out of love for you, I'm going to report this to the criminal authorities. For your protection. For your well-being. Here I go. No, don't. Show compassion. I'm showing compassion. I'm going to report this to the criminal authorities. There's other practical examples, but let that person know that when you, prior to going to the criminal, it's not just like retribution and, reactive. You're so bad, I'm going to show you. Not, coming from that place, but coming from the place of love. And then the discipline is for the person's well-being, not otherwise. up to, you know, capital punishment, depending upon the severity of the violation and a criminal act. But then it's out of compassion. I mean, my thoughts are being flooded right now with part of the service that I had to do as a DBC chairman. It was some hard decisions had to be made. And, you know, time and time and time, before discipline, time and time and time and time and time again was shown, we care about you. And at a certain point, this needs to be done because we care about you. You're just like, you know, you're hurting yourself and those related to you so badly. We have to do this. But it's out of caring for you. Please understand that. And their reply was, I understand it. But, you know, they didn't use these words, but essentially, my senses are out of control. In one case, the statement was made, here's my statement to you, the price you'll have to pay for your senses being out of control will be so great. I really don't want to see that happen to you. And the person's reply was, from where I sit, everything looks expensive. Okay. Please know that the act is being done out of concern and affection for you, for your well-being. I accept that. With the same tone of voice. I accept that. Discipline. It's delicate. Very delicate. Because it's not just, you know, the immediate, it's long term, it's the relationship, it's the circle of other people who become impacted, and the circle of those people around them, they become impacted, and it's very delicate. If you accept the position of having some charge in the, you know, the guarding or keeping safe the welfare of others, inaction is not appropriate in some circumstances. Action must be taken. Inaction is another action. It's another, you become an accomplice or whatever that other term is, you know, the helper or whatever the thing is. You just help the person hurt themselves by being neutral or by being silent, by doing nothing. In some cases, doing nothing is appropriate. You allow time and Krishna and very delicate. Take an ocean of wisdom. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai. Jai.